Millie is thought to be the most premature baby to have survived in Britain. She was born at just over 22 weeks. The time limit for abortion is 24 weeks, and many doctors are uneasy that it's legally possible to have an aborted fetus and a living baby of the same age. Millie was a twin. Her sister died almost immediately. Her mother was advised to consider the birth as a double miscarriage, but she refused.
Wanted to see my daughter because I didn't know how long I'd have with her, and it weren't nice to be told that they're a miscarriage when one of them's still fighting. And obviously we lost one, but she weren't a miscarriage because she was born, and they were so active when they come out. Millie was just kicking and moving her arms. She was just so full of energy.
Legally, it's possible to abort a baby, you know, up to, as it were, a week beyond where Millie was born. Did you have views about abortion before the twins were born?
No, not really, because I hadn't been through anything like that, so it didn't really affect me. But now seeing that Millie was born that young and people are still going getting rid of them at that age, it's just, there is life for them, you know. And we had two babies and we've only got one, and other people are just going getting rid of them.
Cases like Millie are currently being examined by the committee of MPs looking at the abortion law and whether it's affected by these kind of medical advances. ...24 hours old, but way too early. Jack was born at 24 weeks and one day, just 2 days over the legal limit for abortion. Doctors here at Liverpool Women's Hospital have warned his parents Jack only has a 50% chance of survival, and even then, his quality of life is uncertain. A third of very premature babies will be disabled, often severely so.
So scan, x-ray, give us a... and that's it, and I'll talk to Mum and Dad later on.
15 years ago, hardly any babies so premature survived. Then new drugs were discovered to inflate the lungs. But that's been the only major breakthrough.
The problem is that much below 24 weeks, the lungs are so underdeveloped that the little tubes in the lungs haven't really developed, and the lungs themselves are practically solid, and so you can't ventilate them, they can't breathe. The only possibility there will be some sort of heart-lung machine, I suppose, but I don't think the technology is anywhere near that, and we may not even think that's desirable.
Born at 23 weeks, this baby's clung on for another 3 weeks. Today, a quarter of babies born so young may survive, but often with long-term problems. Her parents chose her name, knowing doctors can't predict her future.
They don't really go much far beyond a very short-term view. They tend to sort of look day-to-day with what, you know, what our problems are at the moment. We are aware of the long-term prognosis, but it's taking each step at a time.
Over the last 20 years, doctors have become much better at keeping 24-weekers alive and made some, if less dramatic, progress with even younger babies.
So, for the moment, 24 weeks is the sort of the viable age limit, you think?
Yes, I think so. Below 24 weeks, survival is pretty unusual. In fact, in the last year or two, we haven't had a 23-week survivor, although I have to say there are two babies of 23 weeks on the unit at the moment, so we hope we'll have some survivors this year.
Jack's now stable, but Hope and the other baby born at 23 weeks have since died. So is science really making any meaningful advances on the age of viability? In America, there are signs that it is. Anything related to abortion is hugely controversial here, so we're not identifying the hospital where we filmed.
Hey, Bonnie. Hey, Mommy. How you doing? I'm sleeping. You can open your eyes. I love you.
This unit is one of the best in the world, and what happens here will inevitably filter through to other countries in the next few years. In Britain, only half the babies born at 24 weeks survive. But Dr. Whit Hall says here they've got a substantially higher chance.
If the mother can come in time to get her prenatal steroids and to be carefully assessed, to get her antibiotics, and to have delivery under a controlled set of circumstances, and that would also mean in a large perinatal institution where physicians, nurses, respiratory therapists are used to dealing with that kind of baby, the survival is as high as 75% to 80%.
And whereas in Britain only a quarter of 23-weekers will live, once again, here, things are better.
We certainly have improved. Before 1995, very few of these babies would survive. And now the survival is about 50% if we can take care of them. And at least as important as that, many babies not only survive, but they survive without serious neurological deficits. They survive without the parents having a constant burden on them, which oftentimes happen when they deliver at these very low gestations.
The last time there was this controversy in Britain about the overlap between the abortion limit and the age at which premature babies could survive was back in 1990. After heated debate in Parliament, the time limit was dropped from 28 to 24 weeks, then an age where only a tiny number of babies survived. Now GPs like Trevor Stammers think we've reached the same situation again. He also chairs a group of Christian doctors opposed to abortion. He accepts the law is here to stay, but wants it reformed.
Getting the balance between a law that permits abortion in cases where no other provision is acceptable to the woman, but yet not taking life cheaply, as we undoubtedly do at the moment. I think that is very difficult, but I think that certainly we have got to look at the evidence about the increasing survival rates of prematurity, and I think that it is totally barbaric that a 24-week fetus will be aborted on one floor of a hospital and in the intensive care unit and we're trying to save the life of another one. So I think we certainly ought to be trying to bring the time limits down.
The pro-choice side say women having late abortions are often in the most desperate circumstances, and whatever medical advances there have been don't justify changing the law.
It seems to me that there really isn't that evidence there, and I think that it's one of those areas that it can become political in a way that it shouldn't be, because no one likes the idea of ending the life of a child that could be born alive, and so it becomes a very emotive issue. It would be far better for us to stick with the facts of the case, I think.
But that means it's something you don't want to discuss, partly because it's actually a very uncomfortable situation.
I don't think that we're trying to avoid it. We know that it is possible in rare circumstances for some very severely premature infants to be kept alive. It doesn't change...
Well, at 24 weeks, there's a 50% chance of survival now.
There may be a 50% chance of survival with an enormous amount of heroic medical intervention, and also the very strong probability that there will be all kinds of problems caused to the infant at later stages. So it may be alive, it may be very, very poorly. But that doesn't affect my attitude to abortion at that gestation, because I know that the women that we see at 23 weeks, because of course there's a 24-week limit in our clinics, and we know that the women that we see are ones who have incredibly compelling grounds.
Now, Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
A prayer vigil outside the Mary Stopes Clinic in South London. Scientific arguments are irrelevant to them. They oppose all abortion on religious and moral grounds.
And termination means I do not want a live baby, I want a dead baby. So, and that is the truth, that is the bottom line. There's loads of other things around it, loads of other considerations, but if you're looking at it on a purely physical, that is what she's deciding. am I going to have a dead baby or am I going to have a live baby?
The abortion debate has always been polarised. On one side, those who focus almost entirely on the unborn child versus those who believe the rights of the woman take precedence. But that traditional divide is becoming more complicated as science reveals more about the appearance and behaviour of the fetus. These images have had an enormous impact on the abortion issue, because here science and emotion have collided.
Okay, right, well, so your baby is a bit of a gymnast, really.
Professor Stuart Campbell is a pioneer of fetal scanning. When he introduced this 4D technology into the UK a couple of years ago, it led to a storm of debate. Other doctors say these pictures don't add anything to medical knowledge, they just fuel the emotional row.
We'll just see if the baby makes any facial expressions, because at this
Leanne is now 5 months pregnant.
You see how baby-like the baby is? It's only 22 weeks, and yet it just looks like a baby, doesn't it?
At first, she and her boyfriend decided they were too young to be parents. They were both 16. So Leanne went for an abortion at her local NHS hospital.
Pick the baby up, you know.
How far along the road did you go towards having the abortion?
I was on the hospital bed 5 minutes, like, to go. They wanted to, like, take me in there and then, and I couldn't do it.
What happened to change your mind?
Well, I was told, like, the baby had, like, arms and legs and a head. It was, like, an actual baby. And I just couldn't do it.
They went for the little scan, didn't they, see how far gone?
Yeah, it was taken, like, for a scan. It's different when you can see.
Yeah, see the little heartbeat going. And that's when you know that it is actually real, because it's heartbeat scan and that's hard.
Professor Campbell says our instinctive reaction at seeing the fetus overrides whatever science may say about its actual development, which is exactly why his critics object to these images. This is a 20-week fetus. 3,000 a year are aborted at this stage and beyond.
You'll see actually a little cry there, because they do show emotion, or emotion inverted commas.
Well,
they
do
show
emotion?
Facial expression.
I mean, at 20 weeks, you know, the central nervous system's not hooked up to the brain, is it? Can it feel emotion?
Well, they are making crying faces. Right, okay, and they can make smiles. Yes, you're probably right. Yeah, it's probably naughty of me to say emotion, but they are expressions, very human expressions, that if we see them in an adult, we associate them with emotions, okay? And they at least illustrate the humanity of the fetus inside the uterus. The fetus is his own advocate. It is saying, here I am, do you want to abort me or do you not want to abort me? And if people are appalled at the idea that a fetus that looks so human and behaves in such a human way, if people are appalled at that, then the limit will be reduced.
The image of the fetus has always been used by anti-abortion groups because it is so powerful. But in America, they go to extreme lengths. This footage is used as propaganda by American campaigners. They won't say where it was filmed, but this is the result of very early abortions, before 12 weeks. And these are from later abortions, at 14 to 16 weeks. An independent expert here has confirmed that. Operations like this happen in Britain every day. This is why doctors who perform this procedure won't describe what they do. They worry the very nature of the process will prevent any genuine public discussion about where the time limit should be set. But privately, even among the most senior consultants, that debate's already happening. In Hull, Kate Guthrie operates up to 14 weeks, she'd be willing to go higher, but not up to the legal limit.
I think every individual has a cut-off point. And I suppose, and I'm talking theoretically because I've never had to make the decision, mine would come round about 20 weeks.
Why there?
Good question. It's just the way I feel about it personally. All of us have our own personal feelings and our own personal cut-off points, and that one's mine.
And can you spell out to me what it is that makes it that cut-off point at that stage?
I think it's just fetal size. It's not scientific. It's personal.
I mean, is it that literally it's just become too much of a baby for you to be willing to perform the process?
I suppose so.
The Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists has already warned of a growing shortage of doctors willing to carry out abortions at any stage. Critics of the current law say these pictures illustrate why.
Well, amongst young doctors, I think there is an increasing reluctance to go into obstetrics and gynaecology, because of, amongst other reasons, the fact that they may be called upon to do terminations, and they simply don't want to do it. You imagine spending your professional career as a healer, scraping fetuses, babies, whatever you call them, out of women's wombs day after day after day. I think that must be a very deadening experience in somebody's soul.
I do have an anxiety that if we don't sustain enough doctors doing the procedure, who's going to train the next generation?
Are we already at that stage that there are not enough doctors willing to do the late surgicals?
We're not at that stage yet, but I am concerned that we get there in the not too distant future.
And the unwillingness, the sort of the distaste of the procedure, that goes beyond doctors, does it, down to nursing staff?
Absolutely. We doctors are no different from the rest of the population.
The American propaganda footage also shows a non-surgical termination, where birth is induced with medication. In Britain, most late abortions in NHS hospitals are done like this. This baby was probably at least 24 weeks gestation, the legal limit in Britain. But later this year, anti-abortion groups will try and force a change in the law to stop abortion so late.
I think we certainly need to ask very serious questions about why we have one of the most liberal abortion laws in Europe, and undoubtedly the reason that we have such a high abortion rate is because the law is so lax.